I'm Jessica Paresta, host of the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hey, welcome back. Steve here. And today I'm talking with Dr. Cheryl Lundy-Smith, and we're focused on learning without tears and the importance of handwriting instruction and learning cursive. Oh, this is an awesome, fun, and inspiring conversation. You're going to love it. Thanks so much. And by the way, before you go, it'd be so cool if you could help out the podcast. And here's a couple ways you could do that. One is tell a friend and share the links. Could you do that? Just find one person and say, hey, here are the links for Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Why don't you take a listen? Another one would be to go to my website and leave a review and subscribe. Oh, that would be awesome. And how about this? Click on the link on my website homepage to buy me a coffee. By this, you could donate a dollar or two to help me address the costs associated with producing the podcast. That would be so cool. You are awesome. Enjoy the show.
Number one, I think as teachers are given more to do, school leaders are giving more to do, they're overwhelmed. And I think it's important to note that like their plates are already full and we just keep piling it on and wondering why people are leaving their profession. So I think, unfortunately, one of those things that kind of got lost is handwriting. When you look at the high stakes testing, no one is, saying, hey, how is handwriting doing?
It's the Education Podcast, your favorite show, with lots of groovy guests and they share what they know. So crank it up to 10 and let your neighbors know that here's another show with Dr. Steve Mileto. Teaching, learning, leading K-12. Teaching, learning, leading K-12. Teaching, learning, leading K-12. With Dr. Steve Mileto.
Dr. Cheryl Lundy-Swift is an award-winning educational leader with over 20 years of experience. She is the Professional Learning Director at Learning Without Tears and founder and CEO of EduPower. The education consulting firm empowers school and business leaders, teachers, parents, and students to reach their fullest potential through professional development, coaching, and curriculum. Cheryl has designed and delivered leadership, team building, and instructional topics to improve culture, climate, parent involvement, and student outcomes for thousands of school leaders and teachers nationwide. She served as the lead curriculum developer for Learning Without Tears, Get Set for Schools Language and Literacy Curriculum, which received an AEP Distinguished Achievement Award. In 2017, Cheryl was awarded the Investor Bank's Educator of the Year Award, and Cheryl is so awesome to have you here today. Say hi to everybody, and I can't wait to talk to you.
Hey there, Steve. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, glad that you're here. And let's kick things off by giving our audience an overview of Learning Without Tears.
Sure. Well, Learning Without Tears is a over 40-year-old company. It started as a handwriting company. And since then, we've added products and services for pre-K children, as well as keyboarding, alphabet knowledge, and phonics. But really the mission of Learning Without Tears is to make teaching and learning easy and fun. And we do that with multimodal, multisensory products and materials, engaging professional learning. And it's all to really support teachers and families with really that goal of ultimately impacting student outcomes.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. So what ignited your passion or got you started in being interested in handwriting instruction and particularly in cursive? Because we're going to talk a lot about that in a minute.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, Steve, I have to give a shout out to my fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Phipps, for teaching me cursive, and my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Edlow, for ensuring that we actually use the cursive that was taught.
Very nice. I got to tell you, I like that. So that's cool.
Yeah. I think it's really important for me to tell you a personal story to really help you understand my passion for cursive. So my husband and I, we were blessed to raise our nephew, Sid. And so when we became a family, Sid was an eighth grader whose print honestly looked like a first grader's handwriting, right? There were different sizes, a mix of capitals and lowercase. It was really, really hard to read his writing, really hard to support him and help him. Well, I really desperately wanted to teach him cursive, but with all the changes, moving to a new city and a new school and being a new mom figure, I didn't want to push it, right? So thankfully, on that wonderful day, Sid came to me and said, hey, can you teach me cursive? And I said, sure, I would love to. Why the interest? And of course, he was interested in a girl. He wanted to write a letter, but I didn't care what the reason was because I knew that I wanted to help him with his writing. So I happily agreed. And you know, I really used Handwriting Without Tears is cursive book. It actually was a third grade book, unbeknownst to Sid. He did not know, but we have fourth, fifth, and sixth grade books. But at the time I used a third grade book. Long story short, I use those same methods of teaching him and practicing and then doing some recursive review. And now his handwriting in cursive is absolutely beautiful. Now, I can tell you that not only his confidence, I have to tell you, Sid at that time certainly was really probably overly confident as a teenage boy, but in terms of academics, not as confident, but improving his handwriting improved his academic confidence for sure. It gave him the confidence in the classroom. His teacher started noticing, you know, that he was doing better and really writing more as a result of this new cursive skill that he has. And so Sid is now a graduate, a college graduate of Caldwell University. And what's cool about it is that Sid said to me, you know, I have to thank you for teaching me cursive. I was able to actually keep up with my professors as they were giving me notes, and then I could actually read those notes afterwards. So it really did change. It shifted the way that Sid thought about himself as a learner. It gave him that confidence, but more importantly, it also helped us be able to really support him in writing better, right?
I love that. That's, you know, and just note, like with you, I'm pretty sure most of my credit goes to a fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Dunbar, who spent and she's definitely long gone from this world now. But the she spent time teaching us. And I always had the biggest problem with the Q, because I'd make a print Q and then and it's like, no, that's not how it goes. Yeah, it's but I am glad that she's stuck it out with me and with the rest of the classes that she taught when I was there at that school, and that it was because it is, it's a nice thing. And where I was going to go with this was that, so for example, like when I interview people for jobs at my work, and one of the things I do is I send back a handwritten thank you card for interviewing with us. And sure. I get more comments from people who got the job and who didn't get the job, who say, thanks for handwriting this, you know, because I use my cursive and handwrite a little note to them to thank them for their time. And, it's nice to be able to do something like that as opposed to texting, emailing, and just that standard computer print type of stuff.
Of course, Steven. You know what? When you get your mail, you go through your bills that are all kind of, you know, with a typewriter, right? Or you know, keyboard. And then you see that handwritten note. And what do? You open that one first for sure.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
And I'll have to tell you that you using that you know, print cue, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we believe that, of course, once you learn cursive, you come up with your own style. So it's important for us to remember that, you know, we at Learning Without Tears, we really use a very simple style. So it's really taking out all the unnecessary loops. And so we make it simple also by making it vertical. So yeah.
Awesome. Love that. And thanks for giving me the permission, because I, over these years, I just stopped trying to do a cursive cue. And it is definitely a combo of print and cursive when it comes to a couple of letters.
There's
like
nothing
that.
Wrong with that. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So, you know, with the recent resurgence of interest in cursive instruction, you know, evidenced by several states now requiring it in public schools, could you shed some light on the factors that initially led to the decline of cursive handwriting? I mean, why people start saying, oh, we don't need to do that?
Well, you know what? I think it's a few things. I don't think it's one thing. I think, number one, I think as teachers are given more to do, school leaders are giving more to do, they're overwhelmed. And I think it's important to note that, like, their plates are already full and we just keep piling it on and wondering why people are leaving their profession. So I think, unfortunately, one of those things that kind of got lost is handwriting. When you look at the high stakes testing, no one is, you know, saying, hey, you know, how is handwriting doing? But the reality is we know that children are doing those written assessments. And yet, you know, when some evaluators are reading them, they can't actually make out what students are saying. So students with these great ideas aren't able to really express themselves because they don't know how to write down those ideas. I also think Common Core standards, we know that if you look at the Common Core standards, there were no cursive standards in those written in the actual Common Core, but only that children could write capital and lowercase letters and in print. And I think obviously that lack of focus is something that, you know, is troublesome. So I think also you can't, you know, you mentioned at the top of the call when we were talking about your sons, I think also thinking about technology, right? People, hey, the computers come and thus no one will ever pick up a pencil or a pen again because computers will solve everything. And I've got to tell you that that's, you know, not the case. So I think standards, high-stake testing, plates that were already full, and obviously technology have really led to a decline in handwriting.
You know, it's so interesting because you know, there was a time when I remember very much having to learn how to write cursive and sitting there wondering why we had to learn cursive. And then it served me well as an adult because there's all kinds of things because it actually, you know, one of the really cool things is that in a world where lots of people don't use it, it's a unique thing. So just like you were talking about, if you see that handwritten letter in your bills and you go, oh, I'm going to open this, forget the rest of the stuff for a minute. And, you know, and I think that's why like some vendors and some salespeople and stuff like that have taken to creating fake handwritten letters where you get this thing in the mail and you think, hey, this is cool. So, oh no, this is a computer pretending to be a person writing me a letter trying to sell me something, but
not quite the same, but guess what? It intrigued you. Right?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Because you know, it's so far in between that it is unique then. And it does make you pay attention. And, you know, and with that, it's, you know, you were referring a minute ago to some of my family members who have challenged me and said, Dad, you know, why do I need to, my sons have said, why do I need to even think about this? Because, you know, we do math all the time and we text and we do emails and we use the computer communication and once in a while talk to each other too. But cursive, why? You know, so,
yeah, you know, there's so many reasons, right? There's so many reasons why, you know, and certainly, you know, writing faster, like I alluded to with my nephew, Sid, being able to keep up with people when they're speaking. So when taking notes. I also know that cognitively, I mean, there's so much research. I'll tell you, there's so much research now that really tells you that handwriting is, in fact, and cursive in particular, really helps children to learn. So I think, you know, when you know better, you do better.
I like that. I like that. What do you think actually has made this happen? I mean, because one of the things that's interesting in this world we're in, I just read an article the other day that said, now, this is right up my alley, too, by the way, which I think is funny because it makes me worry that my phone is, you know, when they say that we're sure the phones are listening to us, yeah, this would be one of them. Because I had just been talking about how streaming drives me nuts, all right, because I like the fact that millennials brought back the LP albums, and now there's this big movement of cassettes in Japan. It's really become a big thing, and over here it's starting to, too, and it's like, oh, my world is coming back, and what's interesting is that part of what's driving that is the ability to own something, all right? Yeah. And this author that I was reading this article said, he said, isn't it time to just give up streaming because now even people are buying, just as stores are getting rid of CDs and DVDs and stuff like this, people are starting to go out and find them again because they want to own things. I mean, what do you think about that? You know, what do you think has made this resurgence in interest in cursive?
Yeah, you know, as I say, when you know better, you do better. So that means that we now know more about the impact of cursive writing, thanks to science and technology. We know this, like as it relates to reading, we know the science of reading, right? We know that a more science-based approach, it actually, I'm gonna stop. Okay. When you know better, you do better. So we now know more than anything when it comes to learning and teaching, thanks to science and technology. So when we think about reading, for example, we now know more as a result of a really wealth of science in reading and what to do for children. But we also know the impact of handwriting as a result of science and technology. There have been a number of studies, Steve, that show us that handwriting helps children to learn to read, to spell, and even acquire phonics skills, right? Research tells us that students who have strong handwriting skills are better writers, more confident writers, more creative writers. And I think, you know, now that we are, that we're using science in schools, it makes sense that, right, we are really now latching on to this. I think also what has to happen now, though, is that we need to start to shift our thinking in terms of like adding handwriting as one more thing to do to these already full plates, and more of like integrating handwriting into the school day. So like, again, I think, you know, we thought about handwriting before as taking it away so that we can then have more time for things that were more standards based. But now I think we need to think about it as consolidating. Like, there is ways that you can incorporate good handwriting instruction to support what's happening in math and in science and in social studies to really solidify their learning in those subject matters, but also to really solidify their handwriting skills as well.
Well, I think that's so important to think about, because, you know, it's, you know, kind of going back to something you said before, it's amazing how it does make you stand out, because it's not only important for you to be able to read it in case somebody does use it. I mean, because I've had this is another discussion with my sons right here, where it's like, Dad, nobody uses it except for you know, that type of thing. And I'm like, no, there's lots of people out there using it. And I said, well, what would you say to them? Come on, let's go there for a second.
I'm going to tell you that 60% of kids in a classroom, so like, you know, now in the post-pandemic, we know that a lot of schools are one-to-one, right? So that means one child to one device. Yet 60% of students are using a pen and paper or pencil and paper in the classroom. So they do absolutely use it. There's no way that technology is solving that problem. And while I think he certainly may choose to use, you know, a device, let's say if he's a coder, of course you're going to use your computer to code. But for the most part, in a world where we work, right, and in a school building where students are learning, they are, in fact, handwriting. And so why not teach them a skill that they can carry over and choose to use one way or another? And I'll go back to my nephew, Sid. He talked about being able to keep up with his professors and taking notes. Well, I've got to tell you, there was a really cool study done where they took some college students and said, hey, we want this group to handwrite their notes and this group to type their notes. And then at the end, they would give them an assessment on whatever was taught. And inevitably, those students who handwrote performed better than those who were typing their notes. And so then, of course, they were like, okay, well, what's going on here? So they said to the students who were typing their notes, they said, hey, don't write down everything that the professor's doing, because what was happening is that they were just doing dictation. They were not thinking about what the professor was saying, whereas the folks who were handwriting were cognitively engaging on paper with their professors, thus really kind of helping them to think about what was learning and to really also select things that were really important to kind of stand out. So, you know, I would challenge your sons to just say, hey, you know what? There is something to this cursive handwriting that really does help children connect to things. And again, studies have proven that and shown that. And it's really, I think, a disservice to students to assume that they're only going to be on devices, because it's just not accurate.
I love it. You know, one of the things that I went to, you know, I started to say one thing. I'm gonna come back to it in just a second. But okay. You know, sometimes you know, I get references like, "Yeah, it's old fashioned," or "You're old fashioned," or something, meaning me. And you know, and it's like yeah, but you know, like, so for example, I went to a military school to become a second lieutenant in the Army. And when I was there, they had an etiquette class that you were required to take. And one of the things that was taught in that etiquette class, so it wasn't just about eating, where the forks go and the spoons and all that sort of stuff, and you know, doing things like pulling out chairs and stuff like this. It also was about writing thank you notes, and I think it's interesting because you know, one of the things that happens in this world today is people are really quick to, they may, if they do anything, they may send off a email and say, you know, hey, thanks so much, it was great, something like that. But I'd love just the impact of the fact that when somebody handwrites a letter and puts a stamp on something and sticks it in the, call it what you will, snail mail or whatever, you know, they took time to do that. And the handwriting is something that I think it really does impact people in a way in which they go, oh my gosh, like you said earlier, that you might open that first, because first of all, it's got to be more exciting than the Bills. And and second of all, somebody actually did something like that. And it's and there's so many different ways today that you can create, you know, fonts and stuff like this. So it's to have to see something. I mean, I have saved cards over time that are relatives of mine that have passed on, and because you see their handwriting. I mean, what sorts of, you know, let's talk a little bit about strategies and stuff like this that you've come in contact with. I mean, what do you recommend for integrating cursive instruction into lesson plans now and stuff like this? How can we get them doing more?
So before I answer that question, I just want to just really talk a little bit more about that whole digital piece that you just mentioned.
Sure.
I don't want our listeners to think that I'm pitting cursive writing against technology, because I don't think we live in a or world. I think we live in an and world. I think it's important for us to teach cursive handwriting, but also to teach children how to really leverage and use this technology. That's why we developed Keyboarding Without Tears. It's still a fun and easy way to learn how to keyboard. So we've, again, Keyboarding Without Tears.
I love that.
Which is great. We even use technology to leverage our handwriting lessons to make it more fun and engaging. But, you know, really, I think it's important to think about ways in which we can now add to without feeling like integrate handwriting instruction so that we really feel confident. So here are some ways that I think is really important to really incorporate it. Number one, I think it's really important for us to leverage multimodal, multisensory tools. So I've got to tell you that, you know, while we think about cursive, I want to also let you know that we have to think about handwriting in general. A lot of our kids are not playing with the toys, Stephen, that you and I might have played with. They're not developing the all-important fine motor skills. And so doing anything, writing may be difficult for children just because they don't have the fine motor ability to do so. So we at Learn Without Tears, we have really great strategies, great tools to really build those that fine motor strength and to really give children a great grasp or great grip. So I want to start there, that, you know, with our little children, making sure they have those foundational skills to be able to handwrite and to do it where it doesn't hurt, like that it's not a chore. And then when teachers are thinking about whether they're teaching science or social studies or music or math, for that matter, for them to really model and teach those important skills, we use really friendly child-friendly language to help children remember how to form letters properly. We use a vertical style to help them really connect what they knew in print to cursive. So that vertical style of writing is a more easy to read, easy to write kind of style, and really to infuse it in the day. So let's say, for example, let's say that I am working on a math skill, right? And I'm modeling at the board, but I'm also saying I make the number 3 with a little curve to the middle and a little curve to the bottom. And that's going to, again, that's very quick. I'm simply telling you how I'm doing on the board. I'm modeling, I'm showing you. And the expectation is you are also going to do it as well. So reminding them, really incorporating, if they're working on whatever the science skill is that they're working on, reminding them how to make those connections in cursive, you know? And so there, we only have 4 connections, which is a great way. A lot of other curriculum materials use a myriad of ways to connect letters. We have 4, 2 that are easy and 2 that can be a little tricky, but we teach them those kinds of things. So again, modeling on the board and showing children, guiding them through. So we use kind of a 3-step approach. The teacher's gonna teach it, they're gonna guide it. And by teaching, I mean explicit direct instruction. Watch me, listen to me, let me show you. And then guiding them and really supporting them and really helping children who are having some difficulty and then getting them to independently show us what they can do. But I think that multisensory piece is key. Something else that is really important is really helping children learn how to use paper, right? So we have these paper with lines on them, and we use double line paper. And a lot of people say, why in the world do you use only 2 lines? When you go in the world, not everything has 2 lines. And so that's the truth. Not everything has 2 lines or 1 line or 3 lines. I mean, it varies, but we use a double line to help our students with size and placement of letters. So really helping them understand, you know, how they should look on paper as well. So I think it's just, again, incorporating it, consolidating it, thinking that whatever you're teaching, that it's not actually outside of handwriting. You want them to express what they know and can do. So why not incorporate those lessons, embed those lessons in the actual teaching of whatever the subject may be?
I love it. You know, it's interesting because in this world that we're in now, and by the way, I didn't mean to imply that it's got to be one way or the other, my way or the highway, but yeah, it would be kind of cool to have the cursive side versus the non-cursive. Never mind, just kidding. It's one of those things that it's going to be the next chapter in the Harry Potter series, I think. Anyway, it's amazing because there are ways to make it, technology make it look like you wrote it, because you can have it, you know, you type it out, you put it in there, all you do, and then tell it what font you want, and suddenly, hey, look, I look like I wrote that nicely. So, so it's, you know, there's still a reason for that. You know, there's many reasons out there that people, even though they may be all wanting to print it, they still do some of that stuff. I think another thing in technology that's fun is that I'm in the process of, I've been teaching myself how to use an electronic pencil. All right.
Yeah.
It's funny because they call it a pencil, which I think is a funny term anyway, because I do a lot of, I use pencils. I write in journals and stuff. And I keep notes write my thoughts down and stuff like this. And I use pencils a lot. And a lot of times I'm asking people, does anybody have any extra pencils? Because I've kind of, they're like, pencils, what's that thing? But the electronic pencil is cool because I'm learning how to integrate the two, because I write however I want, and then you can do little things where you draw a box around it and then tell it to fix it so it makes it look nice. And
I love it.
People who really know what they're doing make it colorful and all kinds of things like that. But
yeah, I do the same thing, Steve. I think it's great. It's a great tool. Yeah.
It really is, because it makes it, it then makes it possible for you to use the technology and such, and so you combine them. And one of the things I think is really neat is that they've come out with for tablets, they've come out with these surfaces that make you feel like you're writing on paper, to go back to your paper thing. So,
and you know why that is, Steve, is because, you know, when you think about handwriting is such a sensory process in addition. So when we're thinking about, again, all the science is telling us that, you know, what's happening in the brain while you're writing, it really is connecting to those reading parts of the brain. But that the act of writing, if you think about it, since you write with pencils, I write with pencils a lot too. I love the sound of how the pencil hits. You know, that is also all part of that learning, right? That feedback that we get that is important when it comes to handwriting. And it's important, like, for example, if you're learning like a phonics skills, how AI makes the long sound A, right? It's great to be able to see and hear how you write that, how you actually form the letter A and the letter I. It's a sensory motor process that really allows for students to master that skill and master the handwriting of it. And once, you know, I think it's so important for us to really think about it as a holistic thing, that it's all a part of literacy. Like, we wouldn't say, well, you know, we don't have time for writing, so we're going to take it out of ELA. No, we need time for writing, time for reading, and they are all connected. Handwriting is a part of that. It's not another thing. It's all, it should be embedded in a part of.
I love that. And by the way, I have to say, I love the fact that you referred to the sound, because it's really cool that there's a sound that, you know, if all the noise is gone and all you can hear is you writing on the paper, and it's like, nice. That's a cool.
Beautiful, sound. Isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You know, one of the things that we got to talk is how does this become a national conversation? The idea of using cursive.
Well, I've got to tell you, first and foremost, you're doing a good job of making this a national conversation. We need to talk more and more about it. Dr. Christina Bretz, one of my colleagues, was talking about it also on a podcast. We need to start to talk about it. Parents need to start become passionate about it and know that if their kids are in the classroom and they're doing this at least 60% of the time, then someone should be teaching them how to do it. Can you imagine that you have to do something 60% of the time, but you've never been taught on how to actually do it? How uncomfortable you are, how it impacts the rest of your day. So I want us to talk about it. I want us to live in the and world where we can have handwriting and technology, that they're not, you know, competing in any way. I want us to have these science-based conversations. We know that there is a movement in reading, right? Where we are now, again, have this more science-based approach where we are, you know, really teaching children in a structured literacy way because science tells us that we should. The same thing applies when it comes to writing. And what I want you also to know is that handwriting is a finite skill that can be learned and then used for the rest of your life. So imagine this, right? So again, when I say a finite skill, here's what I mean. When you learn how to write the cursive A, you learn it and you've mastered it. You now know how to write the cursive A. You don't need to now go to a master's class to learn how to write a different A. What you do need, however, is every year, your next teacher needs to make sure that you are in fact writing that A. There needs to be a systemic kind of conversation in school districts where you're teaching handwriting from pre-K on up and that you're requiring, just like Miss Edlow and Miss Phipps that I gave the shout outs to earlier, they need to have like some consistency so they use it so that it is an automatic skill. When it becomes an automatic skill, guess what? I don't have to think about handwriting anymore because it is automatic. And now instead, I have room to cognitively think about what I want to say, about how I feel, or what I want to say about the article that I just wrote, or my ideas about something, my opinions about something. So I also think in terms of a national conversation to just know that when you take the time to teach cursive, you've done exactly that. And then the rest of that is practice and implementation to make those skills automatic.
Oh, I love that. Love it. By the way, I do want to say that your energy for this is awesome. So.
Thank you. I'm really passionate about it because I know it changed my nephew's life. I know it did. Not because I'm saying it, because he said it. And so I can only imagine, like, again, I want to say to you, like those like second graders and third graders, and in my case, an eighth grader, who have really struggled to print because no one taught them how to do it. And they don't feel comfortable doing it. And remember, print, you're picking up your pencil and putting it down, right? Whereas cursive is one fluid motion, right? Imagine these kids who they don't feel confident. They feel insecure in classes. It changes their entire experience. But when you now introduce cursive as a new skill, they can master it. They can feel comfortable with it. And now it changes their trajectory when it comes to where they're going to go. So I fully believe that it can change a child's life, especially a child who is dyslexic. There's been lots of research that talks about children who are dyslexic, that really teaching them cursive is a great skill to really support them in learning to be a literate person.
That's awesome. So how does someone get started with Learning Without Tears? I mean,
we have an awesome website. Our marketing department has put together a great website, lwtears.com. And there's a lot of great information on there about handwriting. We have lots of great research on handwriting. We've lots of great free resources for teachers, for families as well. And you mentioned having devices or technology to actually write cursive for folks. We also have something that's free. It's called the A+ Worksheet Maker Lite that's on our website, where teachers can go in and they can actually type their words or phrases to align with whatever their lessons might be. And guess what it does, Steve? It types it in cursive, but not just any cursive. It types it in that vertical style of cursive that I've been mentioning.
Nice.
And so they can print those documents out. They can have kids trace over them, write on those double lines to really reinforce whatever is happening in the classroom. We have graphic organizers and all of that as well. But again, our website is great. Now, Steve, I also host a podcast.
Cool.
So I'm now on the other side here. And my podcast is called Literacy Matters Empowered Conversations. And there's lots of great resources there as well to talk about handwriting. In fact, I had Dr. Christina Bretz on my show before. I mentioned her name as well. But Dr. Suzanne Asherson was also on that particular podcast talking about all the great changes happening for cursive in states like California as well. But lots of great tools that they can use for sure on our website, lwtears.com.
Awesome. And I will put that information in the show notes. And one more time with the podcast title.
Sure. It's Literacy Matters, Empowered Conversations. And I have, you know, coming up on March 12th, I interviewed a gentleman, Kareem Weaver, and I just interviewed another hero of mine, you know, Timothy Shanahan. So, you know, really some really great, some big guests that are coming on. So I'm super excited and just honored some of these folks who have been in my own research that I've been able to talk to.
Awesome. Well, like I said, I'll have that information in the show notes. Encourage everyone to not only go to the website, but also go to the podcast and check it out. Sure. So good stuff. So I got two last questions for you before we finish up. And they're questions I like to ask my guests. And the first one goes like this. How do you keep going when so much is going on that you may want to quit?
Well, I think it's a great question. And I'm going to tell you that I think it's important to remember the power of a well-loved and cared-for seed. That sometimes we get overwhelmed and want to quit when we don't see growth. But if we nurture that seed, we give it the soil they need, the water it needs, the sunlight that it needs, that we may not see that seed come to fruition, but it doesn't mean that it won't come to fruition. We just have to do the right things. Again, in our cases, we've been talking today, follow the science, you know, lead with love, teach with love, and then you'll find that And know that you've done the right thing. And later on, you might not see it, but if you keep doing the right things, remember that you will have an impact.
Love it. Love it. Thank you. Last question for you. Do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? If so, who was it? And what would you say if you given the chance to say thank you?
I'm trying not to cry here, Steve. That's a really great question. I have so many teachers. I grew up in a rural area in Dinwiddie, Virginia, and I think my school system was the absolute best. I can remember every single teacher and every single school leader that I ever had. So many of them I could name, you know, for sure. Mr. Kraft being one of them, Ms. Gunnels, all of those folks. But I'm going to tell you the teacher that I'm going to choose is Mrs. Boiling. And Mrs. Boiling was a science teacher. And back then, you know, in order for our schools tracked students. And so I was, you know, my parents are fourth and or 12th grade educated. So they were high school students or high school graduates. But my grandmother and maternal grandmother and grandfather were fourth and seventh grade educated. And so and my parents were factory workers. So as a result of our income and, you know, I'm sure other things, I was put into what's called a general track. So I was not expected to go to college. And so I was in Ms. Boiling's class and I would do my science work and I'd get bored. I was really, really bored. And so one day I finally decided to put my head down and she said, come here, we're going to the office. And I thought, oh my goodness, I must be in trouble. I never put my head down. And so she kind of takes my hand and she marches me down to the office and she barges in to the principal's office. And, you know, again, the secretary's like, you can't go in there. And so she goes, take this girl out of these general classes and put her in the comprehension track or I'm going to quit today. And I remember standing there like, what? What in the world? And sure enough, the principal's like, wait. And she goes, I mean it right now or I'm leaving. And so the principal says, well, what if she doesn't do well? As if I'm not standing there. And I'm like, so she goes, you don't have to worry about that. Change her classes now. The next thing I know, there's a frenzy. The counselor's coming in and they're literally changing my classes in the moment. And I never went to another general education class. And I just wonder where my life would be if it wasn't for Mrs. Boiling, who, you know, was willing to quit, really to take a stand because she saw something in me that others did not, or that a system did not, I should say. And the rest is history. And now I'm Dr. Cheryl Lundy Swift. And I have to thank her for standing up for me and for seeing in me and taking action. You know, it's one thing to see something in a child. It's another thing to act on what you see. And I'm so grateful that she was able to do that.
That is so awesome, Cheryl. That is so incredible. Thank you so much for sharing that story. And you got that right. When someone decides to take action as opposed to just, whatever, and just goes on with their life, Good stuff. I can see why you tear up over that story there. So congrats on having that in your past. That is so awesome. And thank you so much for sharing. And Cheryl, thanks so much for sharing Learning Without Tears with us today and the cool work you're doing. Wishing the best. Keep at it. All the best to you now.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Take care.
Hey, you have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast to help you help kids achieve their dreams. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a member of the podcast network based in Canada called Voice Ed Radio. Voice Ed Radio, your voice is right here. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and host. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Hey, thanks for listening. It would be awesome if you visited my website at stephenmoletto.com and connected with me, left a review, and listened to more episodes. And by the way, you could also share it with your friends, with your family, and your colleagues. Thanks so much. You're awesome.